think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. One of my favorite local performers is Travis Gruhl. He does drama, he does comedy, and if that isn't enough, he has a glorious musical theater voice. We'll be talking to Travis today, hoping to learn some of the keys to a successful performing career. Welcome to the show, Travis.
Hi, Ricky Lee.
Well, I'm going to go back way, way back when. When were you first bit by the performing bug?
Oh, wow. I think just like everyone that you ask that question to, they're going to say high school.
Yeah.
I actually have some memories of before high school. I don't remember what they were exactly, but I do remember being bit with the bug before high school.
From being involved in something or from watching a performance and saying, oh, that's what I want to do?
You know, it was being in performance. I've been a performer all my life.
Oh, cool. And it really took off in high school, you said. What sparked it then? What happened?
I was cast as Sky Masterson in Guys and Dolls.
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll do it. And then I took over for an actor who was sick for a one-act play festival, and we went to state. And I remember the first time on stage walking with a script in my hand. The second performance, I had the script, but I didn't look at it. The third performance, I was off book.
Nice. Wow. That's impressive.
I don't think I could do that anymore.
Well, you know, that one thing that I always ask everybody is, what is your technique for memorizing lines? Because everyone seems to have a different technique, and it's something that a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah, and I think I still struggle with it, but I've found it's harder as I get older. It seems to be harder and harder to memorize lines, but technology is helping. I use an app called, Script Rehearser. I use an app called Script Rehearser, and if there's a decent PDF of the script, you can import the actual script. Otherwise, what I end up doing is just hand typing all the lines into this app, which then allows me to, it says everyone else's lines back to me, and then it pauses for me to say my lines, and then it continues automatically for the next person to say their lines. So
that is pretty cool. I've never heard of that one. That's awesome.
Yeah, it beats the old days of taping yourself on a tape and then physically having to count the beats of your speech and then come in as the next person. I use Script Rehearser. It's a lot of fun.
So now, playing Sky Masterson, was that your first lead that you can recall?
Yeah, that was. I know, it's kind of spoiled, right?
Yeah. I mean, what a great role. I mean, do you have any memories of that of where you just said, wow, this is it?
Yeah, it was my first stage kiss, probably my first kiss ever. I punched a guy by accident. The fight choreography wasn't where it should have been, and I got a little too close to his face and actually made contact.
I knocked a guy out during a West Side Story rehearsal once.
Oh, wow. This was during a performance, and I was so apologetic. I said, man, I'm so sorry. And he's like, oh, don't worry. It's Big Julie, right?
Yo.
No problem. No problem at all.
Now, after high school, did you pursue any kind of formal training in acting or music?
No, I did not. I went to University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. I was a science major, but that bug just would not leave me. And I was able to do 5 main stage shows while in college and 1 black box show. So it was the best of both worlds for me. I was able to concentrate on my career, or what was the start of my career, I guess, and then also keep the passion alive.
And what were some of those roles that stood out for you in college?
Oh, let's see. I played Alan in Picnic. I was Oswald Alving in Ghost. I played Neville Landless in, oh boy, that musical. I'm drawing a blank on the name. Based on the Charles Dickens
novel.
The Mystery of Edwin Drood.
Okay.
I played Neville Landless in Mystery of Edwin Drood, a role I don't think I could play anymore. I did have to wear some very dark makeup for that. Not proud of it, but that's what, you know, that was what it was like back in the day, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Bell Book and Candle. I had the lead role in that. Shep, I believe his name was.
Now, yes. I've seen you in musicals like 42nd Street, which you were phenomenal in, and Little Mermaid, and your voice just blows me away. Do you practice often, or does it just come naturally?
I have not received any formal training other than I used to sing in church choir, and I've had a whole range of wonderful directors who helped find my voice and who helped me work on it and do things just in the context of being in a choir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now
I don't read music very well. So
when
a musical director says, Travis, you take the A, and I have to, you know, count F A's, you know, every good boy does fine.
Yes, I'm kind of in the same boat, so I understand. Now, I mentioned 42nd Street and Little Mermaid. Do you have any roles that you've played? You know, we talked about college, but more recently, what are some of your favorite roles that you've played?
You named two of them right there that I really enjoyed.
Well, what stood out about those?
What special? What'd you say?
What stood out about those roles?
Oh, the Julian Marsh role in 42nd Street. It's a dream role for a guy to end the show. Most shows end with a big company number, joyful, everyone's happy, curtain comes down. You know, 42nd Street was one man on a stage singing by himself. And that was just a phenomenal experience, something I will never forget.
And then what about Little Mermaid?
Little Mermaid, the older I get, I seem to be moving into these dad roles. And as long as the grandpa roles don't come up, I'm happy being in the dad range right now. So anytime I get to play a dad, I'm able to, you know, I am a parent, I'm a dad, so I can draw on some emotion. I can draw on some experiences. The cast of Little Mermaid was phenomenal. A lot of good people, both on and off stage, that I got to work with. So
now your wife, Karen, is also an actress. Are your kids involved in theater at all?
Sadly, no.
Do they at least come see you?
Yes, absolutely. They are big supporters. They do sing. They don't do any acting yet. Mm. There's always time, right?
Yeah.
One of the dreams I had growing up was that I would get to play Daddy Warbucks and one of my daughters would play Annie.
Oh, that would
be cute. They're all in their, you know, 18 and 20s now. So I think those days are gone.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what kind of roles appeal to you? You said dad roles kind of appeal to you, but what about the characters? You know, evil or good, or what stands out?
I would love to play an evil character.
You never have?
I never have. I've never played the bad guy. I think being the bad guy really brings, well, really, I don't consider myself a bad guy, so I guess it would be true acting if I could portray someone evil.
Yeah.
Any casting directors out there, I'd love to play an evil role someday.
Now, you've been active in community theater for a long time, but just before the pandemic, you had your first professional role at the Rouse Center in Crystal Lake. I believe the musical was Addams Family.
Yes.
Can you talk us through how that happened from audition to opening night?
Oh, it was actually a dream come true for me. I, you know, way back when I said, someday I'd like to be a professional actor. And here it was, I had an opportunity and I did. It was a dream come true, you know.
So was the audition like your community theater auditions that you had done, or was it a new animal?
It was a new animal in the sense that they followed equity rules.
Okay.
So I'm a non-equity actor, and so I had to sign up for a spot and hope there's one available, and there was no guarantee that they would see me.
But they did.
But you know, the process itself is very similar. You go into a room of strangers and you prepare a number and you sing it for them and do a little dance audition. On callbacks, we read from the script. So they matched me up with another actress. And we read from the script, and it turns out we both were cast in the show, but we were not a couple. She was cast as Grandma. I was cast as Mal.
Oh,
so that was fun.
Yeah. And now what about the rehearsal process? Was it longer, shorter, the same amount of time?
It was a very short rehearsal process. I believe it was 5 weeks,
mm-hmm.
which is a lot quicker than I'm used to. I did play Mal before in Woodstock, so I was familiar with the role.
Okay.
It was a completely different animal. I think Mal was a lot different in the row than he was in Woodstock.
And why is that?
It's a different chemistry on stage with the other actors. It's a new set of actors. It's a new set of, I think it was 2 years after I played it before. So that's 2 years of Travis life experience I can draw upon. I would say it's the chemistry between the different actors.
Yeah.
Leads to a different performance.
Now, was the run about the same length, or was it longer than you're used to?
I believe it was a 4-weekend run, and we usually do 3 weekends in Woodstock. So yeah, it was about a week longer.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. My guest today is the very talented actor and singer, Travis Gruhl. Now, we talked about some of your favorite we have not talked about some of your favorite performers. Who are some of the actors that you looked up to in your youth compared to some that you look up to now?
I grew up, and by saying growing up, I'm going to stick to the college years.
Okay.
I grew up with Phantom of the Opera and of Les Mis back when they were on Broadway. So Colm Wilkinson,
yeah.
Huge influence. Philip Quast, another big influence.
And are there any actors currently that you look up to as well?
Yeah. So after college, I took a 23-year break on theater.
Oh, wow. You know
what they say life gets in the way, right?
Yeah.
So as luck would have it, I just happened to see an audition notice for Les Mis. It's a show I grew up with. It's a show I would kill to do.
Yeah.
So it's been 23 years since I auditioned. I had no idea what to do or what to expect, even what song to pick. I had none of that. So I did a lot of research, and I went online and I typed in audition songs for tenors. And the first link that came up told me what songs not to sing, and kind of gave advice on, you know, don't choose something currently on Broadway. Don't choose something from the show. Don't choose Sondheim. And so while I was researching what song to sing, I found and fell in love with the music of Chess.
Oh.
And I had an audition song picked out from Chess. Fast forward to the auditions. It was so popular for the auditions. They said, okay, you can't sing your own song. We're going to give you a song to sing. We're going to give you 16 bars from the show. Sing it.
Wow.
So yeah, I did not do good at that audition. Oh, I was so nervous. I forgot my name. I forgot what character I was auditioning for. There was no such thing as tempo. It was the fastest I think that song has ever been sung. I was sweating. I was just a wreck, but I did fall in love with the music Chess. And after the audition, I didn't get the role. I didn't give up. I said, you know, I love that show so much. I need to find it and I need to see it. I want to go see chess. So I looked up chess. And lo and behold, my community that I was currently living in were having auditions for chess in 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. So that opened up another conundrum. So here I have prepared a song from the musical Chess that I can no longer sing because I don't want to sing a song from the show I'm auditioning for.
Right. So what did you do?
I found another song. I wanted the role of Freddie Trumper. So I knew it was a high part. And so I found, I believe from, I found Love Never Dies, or a song from Love Never Dies that had a really high ending note. So that was the song I chose for audition. I didn't get the part of Freddie Trumper. I got the part of Walter DeCourcy.
Okay.
And this is a really long story, but it's tying in with the question you asked me way back when. You asked me if there's anyone nowadays that I really look up to.
Yeah.
So during my prep for chess, and I fell in love, like I said, I fell in love with the music from chess, and I was watching, listening to soundtracks, and I was watching the video on YouTube of Adam Pascal and Idina Menzel and Josh Groban, the concert version. And I fell in love with Adam Pascal.
He is just has amazing voice. Nicest man I've ever had the opportunity to talk to. Just a wonderful guy.
And so the even cooler thing is the company that was doing chess, they brought him in for a masterclass.
Nice.
So I got a chance to sing for and get advice from Adam Pascal.
And what advice did he give you?
He basically said that if you are afraid of rejection, you're in the wrong field. He explained that actors get about 90% rejection rates for their auditions. And it's often things that are way beyond your control. It might be that you are too tall, or you might be too short, or you might be the wrong color hair, or you might have the wrong body type, or the director could be having a bad day and didn't like the shirt you wore, or it didn't like the school you attended, or
did that help? Did that help with your nerves? Things. Did that help with your nerves for auditions, having that advice?
It did. It helped knowing that. And he also told us that what he does is he just goes in there and gives a performance. Don't worry about them judging you. If you go in there and you can do, and you do the best that you can do, and you entertain them for 32 bars or 2 minutes or whatever the audition is, if that's what you do, you've succeeded.
Yeah.
Whether or not you get the role, if you go in there, you have fun, you entertain, because that's what we are. We're entertainers.
Yep.
Entertain the casting director for 32 bars or for 2 minutes and let the chips fall where they may.
Now, have you been to New York to see any shows on Broadway?
I haven't. Wow. I'm going to blame COVID on that
one. Yes. Is that something that you plan to do at some point? Is that something that interests you?
Yes, very much so. I would love to see a show on Broadway.
What about the Broadway tours that come to town? Have you ever been into the city to see any of those?
Yes. Yeah, we went to see Hamilton. We went to see The Play That Goes Wrong. We went to see Book of Mormon.
Now, have you ever walked out of those shows thinking, yeah, I could do that?
Of course. Will I ever get an opportunity? That's another thing. But could I? I would love to. Yes, absolutely.
Now, in addition to your onstage roles, you're also the president of Theater 121. How did that opportunity present itself?
So I when I moved to Woodstock, I moved from Wisconsin. Don't hold that against me. And I went to a show at the Opera House because I wanted, you know, after my 23-year break and my performance of chess, I wanted more. So I went to a show at the Opera House. I went, and I believe it was Into the Woods. And it was either at intermission or at the end of the show, I turned to Karen and I said, someday I will be on that stage. So not only was I on that stage, I was on that stage maybe seven shows, I don't remember now, but an opportunity came up where, let me back up. the community theater in Woodstock was such an important part of my life, and it gave me so much, so many opportunities. I wanted to give back. I wanted to find a way to give back some of that good stuff that they gave me. And so I was talking to some friends, and they suggested I should run for the board of directors. And I did. And I was voted in as a board member. Nice. So that was of Theater 121 after the two companies combined. Mm-hmm. I was on the first board. And it wasn't long after, maybe 6 months after or something, the president stepped down and they asked me if I would step into the president's role. I had to look behind me because I didn't know they were talking to me. So I stepped into the president's role, and two ways to look at it. I was the very only president to ever cancel a show, but I was also the only president to lead a company back from a major pandemic.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. What were your hopes and fears during the pandemic? I mean, was theater ever going to come back?
It was hard because no one knew. No one had any answers.
Yeah.
We didn't know how long this was going to last. We didn't know what things were going to ever look like. Once we started seeing a light at the end of the tunnel, we didn't know if audiences would feel comfortable coming back.
Yeah.
And if they would, what would those audiences look like? Would they be socially distanced? Would they be wearing masks? Would the actors be wearing masks? These were all questions no one really had answers to. Fortunately, now we're starting to see some clarity around those questions. And we're seeing that the League of Chicago Theaters has mandated that audiences must show proof of vaccination, audiences, or have a negative test within 72 hours, and audiences need to be wearing masks during the performances. Mm-hmm. So at least we have clarity around what some of that stuff looks like. Now, Theater 121 hasn't made an official position on that as of the airing of this, or as of the taping of this show. Mm-hmm. I think once it airs, that you will see a theater COVID policy from Theater 121.
Now, you're currently in rehearsals for the family-friendly holiday musical Elf that will be playing in Woodstock Opera House in November and December. Tell us about that show.
Well, before Elf, we have Death Trap coming up October 1st. So that will be our return to the stage with Theater 121. We're doing Death Trap. As far as Elf is, like you said, family-friendly musical. It's a big cast. We have a very talented cast, especially the guy playing Walter Hobbs. I don't want to say too much about him because, well, it's me. I'm kidding. I'm joking. It's a very talented cast. It's a lot of fun. We just started rehearsals. Again, we're keeping everyone's safety in mind. The only people called to rehearsals are the ones that need to be there that night. We are completely masked during rehearsals. We just make sure we're all safe.
Now, the director of Elf is one of my favorite directors, Roger Zawacki.
Yes.
And how are rehearsals going in terms of, sometimes you're in a show and you get that magic feeling, you know, this is going to be special. Do you get that kind of feeling with this show?
I do. There is no one more excited for this show than Roger. And it's very palatable when you hear him talk about the show and about what's going on. Tonight is my first blocking rehearsal with Roger. So I am so pumped up about getting on stage to actually interact with the other actors in the scenes.
Now, in general, what are qualities that you admire in a director?
I would say a quality is you got to like the guy or the gal. And what do you look for in a friend? Those are a lot of the same qualities. You want a director who's honest with you. You want a director who can communicate his vision or her vision. I want a director who also allows the actors to play a little bit. The director may have a vision, but the actors also have a vision of what that character should be. And the magic happens when the actor's vision and the director's vision
mesh,
symbiotically mesh and help build each other. So that's, I love directors who let you play.
Yeah. Have you ever considered directing?
You know, it's never really crossed my mind.
Interesting. Okay. Now, you mentioned that you got nervous at auditions and then you got some great advice from Adam Pascal. Do you get nervous for performances?
Usually performances, I do not get nervous. I have butterflies, but that's just energy, as I call it. By that point, we're so rehearsed that we're just waiting, chomping at the bit to be performing in front of an audience. And so I normally do not get nervous.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5. Huntley Community Radio. My guest today has been Travis Gruhl, a wonderfully talented actor and singer. He can next be seen in the family-friendly musical Elf, coming to the Woodstock Opera House in November and December. Travis, thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Ricky Lee, thank you so much for asking me. I've been listening to your interviews with other people, and I realized you must have been scraping the bottom of the barrel. And said, who else can we ask? So let's ask this Travis guy.
No, Travis, you are one of my favorite performers. It's been an absolute honor to talk to you.
Well, we will be. The one thing we haven't done yet is share a stage together.
That's so true. We'll have to make that happen.
We need to make that happen.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Ricky Lee.